You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web, and your number one source for after-show entertainment.
Very good, Gene
Johnson.
From the AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California, presented by Maria Menounos and Bing.com, and streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies, this is AfterBuzz TV's Grey's Anatomy After Show. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest news and gossip. If you'd like to buzz in on tonight's show, you can buzz us at 424-256-1729. That's 424-256-1729. And now, another post-game wrap-up show for your favorite TV show. It's AfterBuzz TV's Grey's Anatomy After Show.
Although, if the O-Face was ever appropriate, it is on Valentine's Day.
Yes. Bing is for doing. Happy Valentine's Day, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Grey's Anatomy After Show here on AfterBuzz TV. And it's happy Valentine's Day to everyone. Hi, Jason Carter here in the hot seat.
Aww. Hi, Julie Parton here. And we are incredibly privileged to have a couple of spouses in the house tonight. Mr. Kyle Parton headed over on the guest couch.
Woo! And sitting across from us, my munchkin, my love bug, Mr. Jason Michael Romero, attorney at law.
Yeah. Dressed the part, too.
Yes, you did.
Sorry, boo. I didn't get the memo. I didn't know we were bringing spouses.
And in the hot seat with us for good, ladies and gentlemen, announcing the newest addition permanently to the Grey's Anatomy After Show, the one, the only, the legendary, the talented, I don't know what else to say about your cuteness, Miss Star Jones. I know.
Aww, I hate that reference.
Oh,
but anyways,
yeah. No.
Thank you for having me. I
Star
love it.
Session.
Star Session.
Oh, I didn't even catch the joke. I'm like, no. Star Jones!
Star Session, you are amazing. Thank you so much for finally being here with us. It's been a long time coming.
Yeah, and I'm loving your red sweater for Valentine's.
Well, I got
very
the
appropriate.
I got the memo. Did you not?
No, I'm keep missing all the memos.
That's okay.
You know what? You need to get my phone.
Y'all need to talk.
All the text says is not to be mean girls or anything, but let's all wear pink or red.
Ooh.
And you did.
Yes.
So I think you were in on the action.
You incorporated
without
it.
A little extra.
Star double R. All right. So Grey's Anatomy tonight. First of all, after Buzz, I have to say that normally I'm not a man of few words, but tonight I was a man of few words because I could not conjure up anything to describe how epic tonight's show was. I mean, it was Grey's in its finest. And every week we say, you know, Grey's is returning back to form, finally. But tonight, from jump, the music, the intensity, the rain. Julie, you hit the nail on the head. Whenever there's going to be drama on Grey's, that's really life changing.
It's Seattle. It should be raining 70% of the time.
Right.
No. But for some reason, in this show, it never happens unless we need a thunder crash at the right emotional moment.
And it's always at night.
Yes.
But the music, just everything, the heightened sense of emotion that was weaved and just running through tonight's episode had me on the edge of my seat, literally.
The whole entire time, the music just kind of just kept building and building, and then there would be that thunder that would happen, which would just bring it all together.
And
I absolutely loved it.
And it wasn't corny, though. It was,
no.
You didn't know what was going to happen next. It was like, how can I liken this to... I don't know.
Downton Abbey.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. Precisely.
Normally, this show really gets me emotionally hooked with the different clients and the different patients and the death. But for some reason, the tension,
I felt it
was palpable.
Mm. Anxiety was rising the whole time for me.
And it was unexpected, though, because normally with Grey's Anatomy, there's arcs throughout each season. And you're like, okay, I saw this coming. But tonight was like left field. Yes, we're familiar with them buying the hospital being sold, invasion of Pegasus, all these things. But I was not expecting the dissension between the attendings and just the way things played out tonight was just very left-field.
Yeah, something had to happen. You know what I mean? Like, we were learning about Pegasus, and it was kind of starting to get a little obnoxious. So there had to be this big moment of, like, there needs to be change. And
right. This
was the moment where it just kind of climactically happened, and
sure.
I absolutely loved it.
And I've always, always hated every aspect of the whole plane crash. Until tonight, I finally thought, if that had to happen so that we could get to this storyline, I'll take it.
It's like, you know...
Because it was completely worth it, yeah.
Right. Agreed. Like when there's construction, it hurts now, so it's better later. Precisely with the plane crash. We lost Lexi and Mark, but you know, it was worth it because we're getting these great shows now.
It's true. Totally true.
Tonight's episode was called Hard Bargaining, Season 9, Episode 15. And yes. Let's get into it. We see the attendings. Well, especially, let's talk about Bailey real quick. Let's talk about Bailey. Bailey is in rare form again because throughout the course of the season, she was supposed to get married. You know, that didn't work out last season. And she got married, I guess, or she didn't. She did. She has a husband.
She got married. And everyone looked beautiful at that wedding.
They did. But she seems to be the most troubled out of all the attendings. And she wasn't even injured.
Yeah, she wasn't injured. But episodes leading up to this, she was actually not. She was the one that was on board. Remember, she wanted to outdo everyone and be the best when it came to, like, doing this new kind of surgery. And then this was the episode where it was, like, it was kind of getting to her. And mm-hmm. she finally showed that side of her that was, like, I'm kind of not on board as much as I thought I was.
Well, she was more afraid of losing her identity.
Yeah.
She simply stated, I can't look at myself anymore. I feel small working here every week, and I want to get the hell out of here before I lose any glimmer of who I was prior. I don't recognize this place. And when she gave that monologue, first of all, Chandra Wilson, you deserve Emmy after Emmy after Emmy because your monologues are always on point. They're tearjerkers. She has some of the best writing on the show. I mean, she delivers those lines with gusto. She said, you know, let me get the hell out of here before I lose who I am.
Well, I mean, yeah, we're going a little bit of in a circle here, but when that moment when she told her patient, like, get the hell out of here, you know, like, that was, like, a big moment of, like, leave Seattle. We're not the greatest doctors that we used to be, who she believed she was, you know. She felt like she was a great doctor that gave great advice and went a step further for her patients. And this episode, she couldn't really take that step because all the stuff was happening on in the hospital.
Well,
so.
Bailey's in a different situation than most of the attendings. Like, yeah. She doesn't have the money. She's not a major player in the outcome of the situation. She's sort of just being thrown around and tossed around. Chief, too, he just doesn't seem to be as affected. He's not as winded by the whole controversy.
No.
But I think it's Bailey more than any of them feels out of control of the situation.
For sure. She's like flailing. Now, they're deciding what to do with the hospital. Apparently, Pegasus wants to buy it. Of course, we know that. And the attendings have divulged a plan to save the hospital and take control. It's kind of a coup, I would say. And we're going to talk about that a little bit later. But, Jason, you're an attorney at law. You deal with a lot of things that of this nature. How possible is it for these doctors to do what they're trying to do, to pull their money and actually take control of a hospital? It's not like buying a Lexus. It's a hospital.
No, and I have to say, as a legal professional, I was really offended that when they were in the van, it was kind of the deep throat moment where, you know, you go out to the deep throat, meaning, you know, Watergate.
Just to be clear.
Anyway, so they got to the van, and who's the guy that made Julie jump? It jumps out of the back of the van. He's a financial advisor. That was stupid.
Really?
A financial advisor can help figure out the accounting and the reality of the structure, how you're going to buy it, where the money's going to come from. But the lawyers are there to say, this is what you have to be aware of. These are the risks that you have to look at. This is the due diligence you have to do. A transaction like that would be impossible in anything short of months.
Right.
3, 4, 5 months.
So you're saying they should have brought in an actual attorney as opposed to, like, a creepy financial advisor?
The guy played the role really well.
Yes.
But he did. But they could have brought in an attorney instead of a financial advisor. It could have been somebody that was a little cheesy. But, you know, all the guy was talking about was legal.
Right. You know, and LLC, stuff like that.
He wasn't the lawyer. But the reality is, since the Affordable Care Act passed in 2010, groups of doctors can't own hospitals. A group of lawyers could.
And they stated that. They stated the doctors couldn't.
And that was true. So the big hospitals and the Pegasuses of the world are that's what happens.
So aside from the unrealistic time frame, everything he said was pretty real world accurate.
Yes. I mean, the script was, from a legal perspective, it was fairly accurate, although for Hollywood's sake, you condense it into one episode. But it's a huge undertaking. I mean, a hospital purchase would be...
Our fans are learning so much.
I know, right?
But, you know, from a legal perspective, the best part of the show was Derek, when he's looking at his face plastered everywhere and the elevator door closes, which I thought was brilliant, and there's his beautiful mug and his flowing hair. And then his comment was, "You said it was just a few brochures." And what's the gal's name?
Cahill.
She says, well, you signed.
Right.
You said other marketing materials. So he signed a release, and it's fair game.
Ooh. Yeah. So read those contracts out there.
So NDAs. Well, reading online today, Shonda and the producers brought in professionals to make sure that they were on par with all the legal documentation, all the legal terminology that needed to happen for this episode. Getting back to the beginning of the episode, they're at Derek's house, the house on the hill, new house, the palace on the hill, going, basically hashing it out over what's going to happen, how they should buy this hospital, and Arizona loses it and blames Derek for why this is not working out.
Well, they all pretty very clearly had a stance. Callie, yes.
Yes.
Shepherd, Gray, yes. And Arizona, definitely not. She wants to get on with her life. She's a skilled surgeon. That's what she wants to focus on. And at first they were talking about the point, counterpoint, and then it got incredibly personal.
And throughout the course of the rotunda of characters as we're watching them, you heard sound bites. That's more money than we'll ever be able to spend in our lifetime, you know? And then...
What are you thinking?
Yeah, exactly.
It just kept spinning around.
Well, that's what I wanted to point out. I love that whole camera shot moment. It helped with the dramatic of the music. Going back to that, but they were going around in a circle and it was like the lighting was good. It just helped bring amazing, that intensity right. of it. But you know, Arizona also had a great point that she's thinking of Sophia,
the daughter.
She's thinking of Sophia, you know what I mean? Who's actually, I mean, it's her daughter, but it's not her daughter. And I can't believe Callie was willing to put her share towards having this hospital and not even really thinking
Callie
about
volunteered
it.
Sophia's
money. And then that's what Arizona was
because
like,
it was Mark's.
Right.
Yes.
But, but we have to remember though, Callie is independently wealthy outside. She's an heiress.
Not as wealthy as I thought. She said she could round up $700,000,
which that's a lot of money. You know, to give away. Like, I think I have almost a million.
Yeah.
Bank of America, maybe we can withdraw like at least $500,000 today. They have a limit at the ATM. I'm not sure. But it was just seeing with the writing tonight, the way they were able to really peer into the minds of each character and how they truly feel. Because you never, with Grays, you always get sometimes, especially with Meredith and Christina, you get kind of a foreshadowing of a taste of how they really feel about certain things, because they have this banter that's like only they know what they're talking about. Like, well, I missed that, but tonight it was very plain as day how each of them felt, and I'm glad that they all really were staunch in how they felt. And even Meredith sticking up for Derek, you know, when Arizona said, or Callie said, we need to leave, Meredith's like, boom, you do. Goodbye.
Because she was Arizona was calling Derek egotistical.
Right. Egomaniacal.
Yes. Okay. Let's get the big words
thing.
Out there.
Ego.
But yeah, I mean, when that moment happened, it was just like they were doing tit for tat and then it was going into low blows. And so the moment just kind of got a little crazy. But then they were also like, what does Yang want to do in this whole situation? And they were texting Yang, you know, and then Yang was in bed and not really in the mood to deal with it, you know? So
as usual, typical Yang fashion. She never wants to deal with anything.
It's true.
Just from a technical standpoint and being on set, those scenes with the spinning camera were probably incredibly difficult.
Oh.
I bet they had to film them over and over and over again for probably 10 or 12 hours.
I bet. Oof.
Anytime you have to speak in a succession and have the camera track that person.
Don't forget your line.
I know, and it was right in the middle of it. It was really great.
Oh my panel, gosh. Though, what we say, first of all, after buzzers, not to toot our own horn, but we're going to toot our own horn right now because we have predicted to a T everything that has come to fruition on Grey's this season.
We'll talk about more things this episode, but I have been 100% right on almost everything.
I'll give it to you, Jules. You have. You
Jason,
have.
You too.
I will give it to me. I have.
It's been crazy. I think the more we watch the show, the more we are connected to Shonda.
Right.
She doesn't even have to write it. We know what's going
to
happen.
We wrote it.
We're linked in.
Yes.
But this storyline is unlike anything that's happened on Grey's. Yes, there's been some genius storylines. Mm-hmm. I think the Denny and Izzy ghost storyline was good. Because when it finally came to fruition, you were blown away.
Of all the storylines, that's where you go? The weirdest one ever?
Yeah.
No, but because...
of that ghost romance?
No, not that... Well... after season 5 where she had cancer, she was dying. I did not get that until I finally put two and two together. She's dying, and then yep, she was dying. That was brilliant. It was great. It was great. Okay. That finale had you on the edge of your seat as well.
Right.
Well, it did.
We'll leave that back to a couple of years ago.
She's like, why are you bringing up old stuff?
Right? Old school.
So, Jason, being the legal eagle that you are, let's say that they were able to purchase the hospital, pull all their funds, millions. They said they have a total of $60 million. What would be the ramifications of that purchase? What would come after that? What kind of obstacles would they face legally?
Well, the reason the process takes so long is the due diligence phase when you're purchasing a big existing entity.
What is due diligence?
Due diligence is you want to make sure that what you're buying doesn't come with a lot of liabilities. Everybody's probably riveted right now. Say more. But when you purchase an existing business, you're buying all of the contracts, you're buying all the liabilities, the potential lawsuits, any malpractice. I mean, you've got Mr. Sexy Eyes in there doing lipo. And he's not even looking. He's sucking fat out. He's talking to Kepner, and they're talking about pretend virginity, and he could create a liability right there. So these guys come in and buy the hospital. They're buying every potential liability. So Shepard was saying this is an investment, but it's an investment that comes with huge risk. So that $60 million could be gone in the blink of an eye.
Right.
I was wondering what type of collateral would be placed on this situation. An insurance or something like
what
that?
Kind
or would they risk losing all of their personal assets?
They would. Ooh, well, that is a good question. There would be insurance to protect some of the malpractice claims. And whatever the limits would be, they could max those out, and then there could be some liability beyond that. But when you set up an LLC, that's your limited liability protection. So if you set the LLC or a corporation up properly, then that shields your personal assets.
Mm.
But if they invest the $60 million into the LLC for the purchase, that's what is in front of that liability shield. So they could lose their entire investment.
Okay.
Right.
Possibly.
Wow.
Let's talk later. I'm going to set myself up an LLC.
For only $12.95.
So stupid. So stupid. Legal Eagle, you are. You get a candy. You get a hard. We're throwing out this hard candy. You get one too because you're amazing.
Aww.
Here, because I call you Star Jones.
But what was crazy about this episode is that Cahill was incredibly consistent in her form of, like, get it done, kick butt, take names, don't listen to anybody's feelings, it's black and white, the situation can be finished. And I really felt for Owen because he is torn, and he's keeping it together publicly, but when he finally broke down in front of Christina, this is as hard on him as it is on everyone else.
And we've known that poor Owen and poor the chief, they always get the crappy end of the stick. First of all, Owen has PTSD, choking people, crying in showers, not remembering where he is. The chief drunk somewhere, wife dies, wears an ugly purple sweater every episode. It's just, it doesn't get better for them. And I even felt bad for Owen too, because he thought that Derek was in his corner. He thought that Derek, they had a bromance going on.
Yeah.
Great hair. He had great hair. Together, they had great hair.
BFFs, wives are BFFs.
We hang out together.
Well, there was that moment where we kind of felt like maybe they were bromancing, Derek was right on his side. And I was like, wait, I was getting confused.
Well, he was until
the interns kind of pointed it out. And then when the intern was basically like, I don't really want to play model for the cameras.
Right.
Like, I don't really want to be a model. I want to go learn because I'm an intern. And, that's what the turning point with the interns was a great
part. Owen if he could see what was going on behind the scenes, this was a brilliant storyline because everybody quitting at the same time, it's not about them leaving Seattle Grace. It's about driving the price of the hospital down.
Right.
So they were saying, we don't have enough money to buy it. And there's an extra $700,000 out there, which is nothing. But with everybody quitting, the price comes down. So Owen should be sitting back thinking, they just did, the stings, his ego. Maybe he loses his job, but it gave them the ability to buy the hospital.
To wager.
Oh, I didn't even think about that.
Yeah, it's legal.
Brilliant.
It is brilliant because, again, why Grey's is one of the best shows on TV, because they have all these different elements that are coming into play. This is a very complex storyline.
Oh, yeah.
This is not like being on a plane and having it crash. I mean, that's...
Well,
I mean, But what I'm saying is that to write, there's so many elements that are making this that much more complicated but that much more juicy. And getting back to the interns, Yang and Stephanie Edwards, you know, Yang for many seasons has always stuck up for her education, saying, look, she told the chief, cut me when Seattle Grace Mercy West merged,
right.
Cut me, because if you can't give me the education that I need, mm-hmm. I'll go someplace else and get it. And I said since the beginning of the season that Edwards is parallel to Yang, being that they have the same kind of mentality, same kind of essence. Right. And Edward Snyder said, listen, I have 5 years to make this happen. Every second counts. Every minute counts. Yes, I'm going to leave here. Doug, wouldn't you? And in that very instance, I hearken back to every time Yang gave that exact same speech to anyone who stood in the way of her education. And it was creepy because Yang, for once, was like, normally she has mousy, dopey, shut up. But she didn't. Had nothing to say. All she could do was agree and really feel that this hit home.
It's true. What was crazy about this episode and what's going on in the hospital right now is that they're all really working together and teaching and learning from each other, even the interns and the attendees.
True.
Like, the groundbreaking turning point epiphany moment from Bo Shepherd and Yang happened from the interns.
Mm-hmm.
And it's sort of like looking through the eyes of somebody who's like fresh and pure to the medical field.
Yeah.
Right. It's very telling. It's like having a new job, walking into a new environment. You don't know what's going on, so you see everything with fresh eyes, fresh pair of eyes, and things are so clear and very prevalent. It's gripping and also kind of eerie, I would say.
No, this episode, the adjectives we keep using is creepy and eerie. Like, this whole episode, you know, like, the interns are turning around and being smarter than the people that have been there for years. It's ridiculous. But I just want to go back to the point, like, at the very first scene, Yang was very like, oh, it's not on your shoulders, Owen. Like, you know, just relax, go to bed. And he's completely stressed out. She goes into the OR room and is like, I can't believe the interns are over there talking about getting a new job or learning somewhere else. And, you know, she was kind of on the wrong side of the fence at the beginning of this entire episode.
As she normally is, always.
Yeah, she always has to be a little bit of a rebel, which is why I like Yang.
She's rogue.
Yang, though. She's focused on being an amazing surgeon.
Mm-hmm.
She doesn't really care for the rest of it.
Yeah. Right. Oblivious. Choice is oblivious to a lot of stuff. But it took the angry nurses who, by the way, the nurses are always angry. Any hospital is always an angry nurse. Angry Matilda on the third floor is mad because she didn't get things. My mom works in a hospital and talks about the angry nurses.
That's real life?
That is real life.
They didn't have research for that.
That is real life.
They didn't bring anybody in for that.
It's always the short ones that have the biggest mouths. But it took Owen giving that fake speech about, you know, Pegasus is the future, and Yang, because Yang, although she may be out there, she doesn't buy BS.
Yeah.
She's not going to fall for the BS. And her scene... Point.
Oh, spit it out.
Last season, when when Yang had the meltdown, Yang stopped operating, and she had to go in with Teddy and talk about saving a heart patient's life.
Oh, yeah.
And she said, listen, this guy will live because he has the will to live. After not saying anything for 5 episodes, Yang, because what they were saying was BS. She sticks up for the underdog when she has to. And her hearing Owen give that speech about the future of Pegasus is what's best, she's like, what are you talking about? And that really sparked something in her saying, like, no, what the doctors are wanting to do is right.
Right. But with Cahill, like, Cahill gave that great speech about how last week she was in surgery, or a couple episodes ago she was in surgery, and, you know, she was scared the whole time. Like, that speech, does she really feel that she's...
Inspiring,
and helping, or is she coming from an authentic place? Is my question.
I have mixed feelings about her. I think, first of all, she's not a joy to look at. Two, I don't like... Her storyline, okay, I get
She's
beautiful. She...
Jason wants her to have more romantic hair.
Yeah, please, something. Like, Cahill, take lessons from Julie here.
He's like, get out of here,
sweeping bangs. Yes.
Get some volumizer,
I know, great hair, some brightening around the eyes. No, but first of all, I thought tonight we were going to get her backstory. We're going to figure out why she's not...
We did.
She choked.
She said, it's not an interesting story. I choked.
But what is that?
She choked.
There's more to it. The chief is involved somehow.
Somehow. Like, I think they had an affair. I want something juicy.
No, that's going to happen soon.
Juicy.
Honestly, I think that Cahill is coming from a genuine place. I just don't think she has a lot inside of her. Like, she doesn't have a ton of character.
Well,
but I feel
she's lacking.
Maybe she's not concerned about the hospital and the people as much as she is, but I think that her main motivation as a character is that she is good at this job and she will succeed at this job.
Yeah.
And it's similar to Yang. It's just more evil.
She's just a commission she was after.
Maybe.
That's maybe.
That's a good motivation, too.
You never,
that's a great motivation.
Do you guys agree? Do you guys agree, though? You never ever really get a stone cold like reading into her. She vacillates sometimes. She goes from being all about Pegasus in the hospital and selling it and being do it my way. I know what I'm talking about. I'm the Messiah. I'm gonna save this hospital. To kind of okay, I see where you guys are coming from. I'm on your side a little bit. I would rather it's like be consistent. Either be a stone cold bitch or disappear. Which I would, if I had it my way in Shondaland, you would be gone, Cahill. No offense, I love you, but you got to go because...
You can get out!
Thank you. Your time is done.
But she and Owen have something going on.
There's
underlying sparks. Chemistry there.
Yeah. I thought so, too.
It's foreshadowing, for sure.
I thought so, too, because when he looked at her and did the eyes, the Owen stare... The Owen stare...
Make me throw
She opened up, and I felt the same thing. Moving on to relationships this week. Okay, you know, after brothers, I gotta hand it to Julie, because she called it on so many levels when it comes to Jackson and April... And Matthew and April.
And yes, I really did. I said a couple of weeks ago, my dream scenario, I know, it just keeps going. My dream scenario would be if this guy also had made the same life decisions as April and was waiting until marriage.
Life decisions.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And that was my dream. Because I feel like we've talked about this a lot on the show. Like, that's a story that isn't told, and that's a huge people group that experiences what they're going through. And so for those two to feel the same way for so long and to work for something for so long, it makes it seem like they're perfect for each other. But I really still feel like she's not going to be able to forget about Avery.
And it was clear tonight.
Mm-hmm. It was definitely clear. Sorry, I'm just...
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
I'm
it was
feeling
clear.
It about yeah. it. Because, yes, you're saying you predicted it, but it was very predictable. You know
thought
I mean?
You were hoping it would happen, or you thought
I
it would
knew.
Happen?
I knew. She can't get over Avery in those eyes, for one, okay? And America doesn't want that anyways. They kind of somehow want them to get back together. And this guy, he was always so goofy looking, ridiculous looking.
The paramedic?
Whoa. He's a little...
He's good looking. Doofy acting.
He's all American.
Big dork. Yes.
And so it was exactly the big dork was predictably going to be a guy that's waiting for marriage.
Ah, see, they didn't feel that.
I felt it. Well, then we've got this going on.
But whenever I said it, whenever Sarah Drew was here, she went like this.
Right.
And we're like, what? She goes, I didn't say anything.
But we can't deny, though, tonight, the chemistry. And again, tonight was a great show, by the way, it was shot. Because we have the instance in the hallway with Kepner and Avery, that wide shot.
Oh, yes,
in the
light. When they were far apart. Yep. I absolutely love that shot.
And they do that in a lot of movies to create a sense of angst between the two characters. Mm. Because you can clearly tell that they want each other. And by having them far apart, we want to see them closer together. I've read about this. I watch enough TV to know. And so
them standing over the liposuction was nasty.
Well, but they're in a hospital. That's nothing. That's nothing.
I ignored that moment.
Jason, you want...
Have a conversation with that going on.
Jason, you watch a lot of Grey's episodes.
That really sucks.
It sounds very Nip Tuck. Very, very Nip Tuck. Very Christian and Troy.
And we had Liz in the episode.
Of course. I mean, who got a great new hairstyle?
Yeah, she
I mean,
looks
her
better.
Hair, her hair is really nappy, though.
I'm like, is that a great new hair?
Everybody's hair looked bad. It was raining. No, I mean,
oh, true.
Still, there's no excuse for April's hair to look that way. Half fat ponytail.
How do you feel about J'April? What's your take on their future?
Well, being an attorney, I always look at the show differently, which
do.
Sucks.
Boring.
Because you really can't enjoy it. Because you're always going, that wouldn't happen. That's not real. That's not. So when they were having this tender, I'm a virgin moment, all I could think about was April is there and she's like, I have something to tell you. And never mind. And so immediately I'm thinking, that's liability for a lawsuit. She's withholding vital information.
Of course you did.
Really?
This guy, absolutely. She's not a virgin. She's not a real.
Okay.
She didn't lie to him. He said, I'm waiting. And
biological.
She said, me too.
Okay.
No, but it's a misrepresentation. It's a material misrepresentation that gives rise to a potential lawsuit. When this paramedic finds out in the sack his first time that it's not her first time,
Could they really do a lawsuit over that type of thing?
Why would you sue somebody?
Probably not. But here's how it would work.
Or even believing this guy, does he know what he's talking about legally at this point?
Would she take him to small claims court?
Judge Judy.
That's good. Small claims court. No, but here's your first time is very valuable.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody knows I'm still waiting because it's valuable to me. So, your first time is worth. I mean, how could you put a price tag on that? So if you think you're going to spend it on this wonderful experience with another virgin, it's a huge investment. It's worth more than you can put in dollars. You could sue her for it. Would it?
She's going to come clean.
Okay, the thing is, legally, that's a great story. But when it comes down to it, it's about her religion, and she's sinning again.
It's not.
She's lying?
She's by lying.
Oh, my God. That's a stretch right there.
It's not a stretch. She's sinning. She's definitely... she's a godly woman who wants to be reborn again virgin, and now she's withholding the truth from the guy she likes. She's lying.
Double whammy. Two lawsuits.
I think she wasn't sinning. She was just not giving all the information, which is sometimes ladylike and necessary.
There's a
special... you don't have to tell too many things.
Valentine's people, listen to her.
Kyle, are you hearing this? You're a wife. There's a special place in hell for April Kempner, right?
Oh, no! Oh, man. So here's the background. We did wait until we were married.
Oh.
Yeah. And the viewers candy. Who watched it.
You definitely get another candy.
And so just like to have this story finally told is really, really cool for me. But to be completely torn and want her to be with the guy who's also waiting, but really like her with Avery is difficult. Mm. I want her to be able to be with both of them, but she's one girl.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's not superhuman.
So who do you like? You like them two together?
Avery.
Like her with Avery.
I like her with Avery. I feel the chemistry, and I feel this angst. You're not feeling it? No Avery? Or?
Jason never has.
No, I think I like them better as friends. I think the chemistry, they don't look good together.
Well, they don't look good together.
And I'm all about an aesthetic. I do think that Matthew and April will work out a lot better because just their chemistry, they're both very soft and quirky and easy. It's just all about the chemistry with me.
Well, they opened up a new storyline now that she's lied and sinned. So, you know, there's definitely going to be that episode where that comes and reveals, because I feel like she's going to lose her virginity again on this show because she has to.
Lose her secondary virginity.
Yes. I mean, he's so hot. If she doesn't give it up to him, I mean, I know a couple people who would, you know,
hey,
yo, whoa. Just kidding. Moving on, though, let's talk about another... another chemistry lacking couple was the patients.
Oh my gosh, when they turned around and the patients were like sitting there and you called her Morticia, that was like awesome.
They went in and revealed the news that their baby needed emergency surgery and neither of them blinked nor showed emotion
again,
of any kind.
Creepy. Yeah. Like this episode. There's a lot of creepy moments.
It was too many things. Well, okay, what else was creepy was the woman's plastic surgery. I mean, she did not move. It was like...
Aww.
Are you an emotional or are you Botox?
Sex and the City reference. You're going to have Botox, so if you're mad, you may need to tell people you're mad because you won't be able to show emotion on your face. That's what she looked like. Beautiful girl, but just that... Yeah. The other patients was the dad and the daughter, or was it a son or was it a daughter? It was a daughter.
We couldn't tell. It was a child.
It was an it child. We didn't know what it was.
But it had cancer.
It had cancer.
The child had cancer. Oh, man. The child had cancer, and the treatment that it needed would not be provided by the new stingy Pegasus.
The music is very...
You know
what? You can play snappy music all you want, but that dad was the most emotional part of the show.
For sure.
That big, strong dad breaking down at the hope his child could be healed.
And okay. The music is just like the episode. It just brings you in.
Just heightened. And in that instance, we also see appear into Bailey trying to save the child again, the same way she did with the girl who needed the bedazzled backpack with Virginia Dixon with the heart back in season 7. I know my grace
bringing it back.
But Bailey's all about the kids, and she tells the dad that we can do this genome therapy that will help your daughter or help your son, whoever. And you know, she's happy. And then we come to find out that nope. Owen shoots that in the foot, and that's done. And that's what sent Bailey over the edge.
That also was the turning point for Arizona.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Why doesn't she know by now not to throw stuff out.
Because
before.
If you're watching the episode, she's a peds doctor. They go off. They don't adhere to protocol. They act emotionally. They touch the child.
I get that, but she knows Pegasus is in here screwing everything up.
It's true. Yeah. Why did
and
that,
she still
writing
throws
lines.
It out there? I mean, right. It makes for a great storyline.
She has hope. There's hope. Seattle Grace Mercy West hope.
Hope.
You know, Pegasus. We should call. What we should call this like the Care Bear Hospital. Care Bear. Pegasus. Unicorn. Rainbow Bright.
Seattle Grace Mercy West Pegasus Hope.
Horrible.
So that's basically what happens with the patients is this
yeah,
episode.
Yeah, but it was definitely, especially when Owen was like, the board didn't make the decision. I made the decision. And that's when, you know, Bailey just went off her rocker and went a little cray-cray.
Yeah.
I kind of liked it.
Oh, I love Crazy great. Bailey. But during, whenever we were getting to know the patients, there was this big moment with Joe and Karev. Because apparently, as of last week, Karev has decided he's into Joe. Finally.
And rightfully so, she's hot.
I know. They get along really well. They have a ton of fun.
They
she accepts him for who he is.
It was exciting at first, but it was very boring this episode.
You were bored by them.
And I was like, they need to split up or they're going to get written off the show. Well, at the rate they're going.
It's an ebb and flow of the show. They can't always be hot and heavy.
No, it's true, but it's boring.
Okay, look, go to
their,
iTunes.
Their part.
Go to iTunes, rate us, tell us how you feel about us,
yes.
Give us 5 stars. We love hearing all your feedback. Yeah. And we also want to hear your thoughts on Karev and Joe, because to be honest with you, people are talking about their chemistry online, saying that, you know, they don't believe it, they're not liking her, they want Izzy back for, I don't know why they want Izzy back, she's been gone for 3 seasons. But, you know, so go on iTunes, rate us, we love to hear from you. Leave your comments, we will respond. That's how we keep the lights on here at AfterBuzz TV. iTunes, AfterBuzz, that's how we roll.
And don't forget to tell a friend.
Tell a friend as well, too.
The show's pretty good. I really like it.
Thank you very much. Thank
that's
you very
right.
Much. So this coup is by far the most powerful thing that's happening this episode.
This season.
Yeah, they decide. They meet the aerial shot with the umbrellas in the rain.
Well, where'd the ambulance go?
First they were meeting in their van.
With the lights.
And now they still have to meet secretly, but they have no meeting place, so they do it in the rain.
With umbrellas.
And, outside.
And because we come to find out that the purchase of the hospital is happening quick speed. It's not taking as long as they thought. It's happening pretty much overnight.
Yeah.
And so Derek divulges a plan, saying, look, Meredith, with your pregnant self, go in there and just distract them. And Meredith says, what do you want me to do, put documents down my bra? And I'm thinking, actually, yeah.
Yeah.
The reason they need the documents is they cannot move forward and beat Pegasus until they get a look at the finances. They need to get a breakdown of what they're up against.
Now, when they're trying to look at these finances, are they looking at, like, how much in debt they are or how much they're going to be needing to spend to own the hospital?
Would they recoup the debt that the hospital has?
They would be – you can buy the entity with or without the debt. It's all part of how you structure the deal. But they're probably looking at the bottom line, which is going to take all the liabilities and debts and all the assets and say, okay, what are the assets worth after you subtract the debt, and what do we have to pay – to pick it up
by
the whole package. So they have to know what all the numbers are.
Yeah.
But there's a meeting of the minds, and all the major players, all the Richies, come together and through epiphanies or otherwise, they're all on the same page.
Richies,
they
I
want
love it.
To do it. They want to go for the hospital.
With Yang being the final, like, yes, finally, I'm done having sex in the on-call room with Owen. I'm here, I'm present, get used to it, let's buy this hospital.
Well, the reason that Yang changed her mind is she finally got Owen to break down and say that he was accepting Pegasus for the sake of the hospital, but him himself personally did not think that it was best for everyone.
Right. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Owen is always in that situation where he's finally coming clean with how he truly feels with therapy after he choked out Christina. You know, I was in Iraq. I have issues. We know this, Owen. We can see it's written all over your face. Owen's face is the most telling because he always looks like he's about to have a flipping meltdown. Either he's constipated or going to have a meltdown.
Yeah, I was about to say constipated. You know, like what I'm thinking.
And like the eyes blinking. He's just a lot to watch. But his emotion is always on his face. You can tell how he's truly feeling about something. When he was giving that speech to the nurses, I knew for a fact that there was BS by the way he was trying to be all nurturing and, you know, all like, you know, we're here for you. No, you're not, Owen. You're not a good actor if you can't hide the good stuff, and you were not hiding the good stuff. So,
well, I mean, that was what he was acting to act like he was given the good stuff. But so he was a good actor.
Was he? Or was he?
Back to those nurses. We thought it was funny how there was one representative in the beginning. We're leaving. Next scene, same representative. We'll give it a try.
Well, it's the economy. I mean, they got to keep. They got to find a way to pay the
actors. If they had anyone else in that room speak, it would have been about 10 grand as opposed to 64 bucks a day.
And she was probably non-union, so it was like a 64 8-hour rate. She was like a check in the mail.
She was excited.
And she got her hair and makeup done for free.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's worth it.
Sometimes.
I don't think but she I had her hair done.
she looked good. A bit short, but good. So, but yeah, the end of the episode was definitely where we were like, what? Because we finally figured, I mean, we knew it was going to happen, but just the way, getting back to the writing, the way they tied it in and presented us with, this is what's going to go down. This is how this is going to happen. And then all the doctors coming in and quitting. And Julie, you said they're all going to quit.
Well, it was a second because Christina ran out and they figured out they're going to try to buy the hospital in 3 days. But they find out that it is happening that night in a board meeting. So Yang runs out. We have to stop it right now. There's one thing we can do. And that's when I knew it. Well, we saw in the previews last week that Derek was going to resign.
Yes, but we had no idea.
Just thinking about it and what Jason was saying, like the more people that leave the hospital, the lower the value of the hospital. So they had to get rid of all of them in order to stop this from happening.
Yeah, the big players went in there. But Yang had me like with the music again and the crazy shots and the lighting. It had me like on the edge of my like seat. Is she going to walk in and joined the bandwagon? And at that moment, she did, and it was beautiful.
It was brilliant, brilliant. I mean, all joking aside, tonight was, for me, satiated every Grey's Anatomy appetite, or the hunger I had for a great show, great drama, great emotion, great suspense. I've been waiting for this all season. I'm so thankful that finally we got this, because initially, we thought, okay, this was it going to be more of the plane crash? Because the plane crash was a big deal last season. And we were like, how are they going to, you know, how are they going to come back from this? When after the shooting, Shonda called that season 7, the season of healing. So it was all, you know, about everyone getting back to being normal and, you know, therapy. And I didn't think Grey's needed another one of those seasons. Mm-hmm. We needed something else besides death, besides sickness. This storyline is so different from anything that's ever been on Grey's Anatomy. It's so different because it's technical, it's legal, it's what could really happen in the world, it's takeovers, it's economy, it's money, it's not health, it's not sickness, it's not death, it's not babies, anything of that nature. And it's easy for us to wrap our head around, because a lot of us haven't experienced death. I've never been in a situation, praise God and thank the Lord, that's been tragic like that. But we all work, we all make money, we all know what it's like to need money, we all know what it's like to stay afloat in this economy. And this is really hitting home with some people that don't have jobs, that work in hospitals. Lexipedia last season said that there was a takeover in Albuquerque back in 2004 that I remember that people were getting fired at this hospital because they couldn't afford to pay people. It was all the news. It was a big deal. And so it's just like, this is something that's actually happening with in our economy.
I completely concur, Jason. Yes. I mean, like, the theme of having to sell out.
The music threw me off.
Yeah, I know, right?
Are they shutting me up?
Yeah, you had some momentum over there. I can't tell if the momentum was going along with the speech or if it was like the Oscars. Like,
all right,
wrap it up.
All right. Well, I still don't know. But yes, I totally agree. We're often faced with, do I take the money or do I do what I feel is right?
Right.
Yeah, and this Grey's season is definitely coming along with. For a while there, I thought it was going to be the season of shut up about the plane crash already.
Yeah.
But I feel like they've moved on so nicely.
Yes. Yeah.
And it's coming to a nice little arc in the season where there's something big that's going
to
happen.
Something big has to happen.
Yeah, and then a new storyline is going to come along, guys, and we're going to have to be more excited about that, too.
Dr. Jason Carter is going to be on the show.
There you go.
I don't want to move on without talking about how hilarious it was that Derek was chosen as the face.
Yes.
And all of the faces covering the hospital, his gorgeous little face, were getting vandalized.
Defaced.
In pretty brilliant ways.
Yeah.
We had our own Banksy up in here.
There was like the devil horns. Mm-hmm. And
the you suck.
The you suck.
Sell out.
Somehow the ASF
word. We're here to sell out. But then we find out, of all people, it was nerdy little Shane.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And he was commissioned by Derek.
Yes. On Derek's side, the chief, thinking he's going to save the day. The chief was so out of it. He never seemed more senior than this episode.
Yeah, I agree.
I found that culprit.
Chief, have
like,
a seat.
I was like, where is the chief this whole episode? Anyways, he's like kind of getting left in the dust a little bit. He's about to be
the whole
pissed.
Season.
He's doing sleuthy stuff, trying to figure out who's doing the painting.
Yeah, like, who cares?
Chief, Pago, retire. What? Retire. Oh, take that early retirement.
No, I love you, Chief.
Oh, my gosh. Well, if I can go back to a few lines in the episode that were also hilarious. The couple that found out that they needed to do surgery on their child, the guy called her in a speech where he was trying to be, you know, very, what's the word?
Strong and supportive.
Strong and supportive. He calls her an ice queen nightmare bitch, and you can do it. And then after his lovely speech and he gets her to say, yes, we're going to do the surgery. She's like, okay, great. We'll do the surgery. She wipes her eyes and she's like, let's get him a maxi pad for my girlfriend over here. I absolutely loved it. That was like the best part of the episode for me.
I did think they were going to have a moment where we saw that they were falling in love, but they left that to foreshadowing. We didn't actually get to see those two hating each other.
Oh my God, they're never going to fall in love. It's going to be like that happen. Child's whole life, you know?
Yeah. She says he's a douchebag, but he can support. You know, he has a great job. I mean, financially, he's on point. But other than that, he's a total mess, which you could see from the whole relationship.
Yeah.
Yeah, her face alone, though, was just doing my head in. Doing my head in. Well, you know, we're excited to announce the theatrical release of Adventures of Serial Buddies. It's a hilarious new serial killer written and produced by AfterBuzz founders and CEOs Maria Menounos and Kevin Undergaro. And this movie is amazing. It's going to star two broke girls, Beth Behrs, Artie Lang, Kathy Lee Gifford's in this. I passed out of her. Kathy Lee was in it.
How in the world does Kathy Lee Gifford have time for that?
Maybe Hoda Kotb will make a cameo in it. You know, Christopher Lloyd, Christopher McDonald, and Maria Menounos is in it, as well as the narration will be done by Henry Winkler, who was Fonzie.
Wow, they pulled out all the stops for this one.
Dude, they have some star power up in there.
I hear it's hilarious and opens March 8th in select cities. Which ones are those?
It's going to be Boston, Chicago, of course, New York City, Los Angeles, and San Francisco. So get your tickets now before they're sold out. We're all going to see it. Maria, if you're watching, I'm really upset that you didn't let Jason J. Carter make a cameo as well as my other Grey's Anatomy co-hosts. We are actors. We would have been funny as hell. But you know what? The next one. Serial Buddies. Part two.
It's so got some real indie buzz. You don't normally see things serial killers being friends in indie films.
And you can get your tickets at serialbuddies.com. And you could also follow Maria Menounos on Twitter at Maria Menounos and at serial_buddies on Twitter as well. March 8th. Check it out. We're all going to be there. Fun stuff. Cannot wait to see the movie. Okay, so guys, are we all in consensus tonight that Grey's Anatomy for Valentine's Day was...
Wow, they did actually not have it be a Valentine's episode, did they?
There was a lot of sex, though.
But you know,
but there was no heart.
No.
I thought we would get a little bit of romance.
I have a confession,
but there was...
Though. What? What?
There was Stay by Rihanna in the ending of the credits. Mm-hmm. That like made me fall in love.
We give this episode the best music of the season.
For sure.
I gotta tell you guys though, watching the show is one thing, but watching it with you guys, since you're emotionally involved in this, is a whole different experience.
Ridiculously involved.
Yeah. I mean, you know what's gonna happen before it happens, so it's like watching it and Julie's jumping up saying, I know this is coming. And
boom!
Five minutes later, it happens. It's like spooky.
Great song. Alexandra Patsalvis is one of the best musical supervisors on any show. She should get Emmy after Emmy for the music she chooses for Grey's.
Totally agree.
Great song. Rihanna performed this at the Grammys, blew everyone away. Finally, we realized she could sing, because it was questionable for years.
Well, that's true, but I've seen her perform live, and she can sing. Yeah. She can hold a note and prance around the stage at the same time, so that's pretty important.
Our systems detect that a host has wandered off the subject.
Oh, wow, Steven. You know what?
Just kind of baited you into that one.
Yeah, so you really, really did.
So rude. Well, let's move on to predictions.
And now, you're After Buzz TV.
Jason Rahmer, Legal Eagle Extraordinaire, what are your predictions for the future of Grey's?
The sale, because it's dramatic, the sale's going to go through. They're gonna save the day, and then the shit's going to hit,
the shit's going to hit the fan.
Boop. And then... it's gonna fall apart.
Oh.
And then everything's gonna come kind of back to normal, I think, for the can you say the last season? Are they gonna have
No, stop! Wait, you can't say that.
Exit stage right, please.
In 3 or 4 years.
Oh, there you go.
Thank you. Good.
But that's what I think. It's
thank you for totally redeeming yourself.
So you think that
it's gonna fall apart, but it's gonna come back, and then things are kind of gonna get normalized again.
Yeah,
And then we can focus more on the characters and their lovemaking and all these different relationships that they share with each other.
Well, I mean, you are an attorney; you're entitled to your own opinion, Star. No, great prediction, Jason. Thank you so much, Star.
No, I feel like the buying of the hospital is going to get really juicy, and I feel like Owen might even possibly get fired in all of this. I don't know.
He's a patsy, poor guy.
Yeah, I think he's going to get fired or, I don't know, get let go and through all this and maybe actually have that love relationship with Cahill, and then they're going to, like, have sex out of
anger,
lust and anger, and, like, maybe they're going to go to the bar across the street,
Joe's,
you know? Yeah, so I feel like there's going to be something happening on that end of it, and Kepner's going to have to come out with her sin.
I predict, you know, that the hospital story is about to get even deeper and more involved in that. It's really going to test the relationships of all those involved. And I kind of feel that it's going to go through. They're going to invest their money, but they're going to lose everything. And what's going to be hanging in the balance is everyone's livelihood and the hospital altogether. That in the end, they're going to end up with nothing. No jobs, no hospital. And how they're going to come back from that.
I actually feel a little different, so we'll see who's right. But I think the sale is going to go through, and the storyline is going to be based around War of the Titans. How do they think we should run the hospital? Who has the best ideas for it? Good. Because that's a lot of talented medical professional egos that are running one thing. Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah, they're going to get power-hungry consultants. And I'm going to stick with my prediction before that Cahill, if people are digging her as a cast member, might be sticking around and becoming a surgeon.
A series regular.
Like, she needs to be redeemed from her big choke.
And that horrible hair. Happy Valentine's Day, guys. There you have it. Grey's Anatomy After Show. Oh, what a wonderful episode. Jason Romero, thank you for joining us. Where can we find you on Twitter?
Up your biz.
Oh,
up your biz.
Up my,
your
my, biz. My.
Awesome. And I'm Jason Carter. You can find me on Twitter at JJC Forever.
I'm Julie Parton. You can find me at JULIEPARTIN.
And I'm Star Session.
Not Jones.
That's right. And you can find me at STARRSESSION. That's Star Session.
Until next week, you guys have a beautiful night. We'll see you next time. Thank you for watching.
From Bing.com, executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.